Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans, where we are talking Mighty Ducks Game Changers, the series on Disney Plus. Russell's not here. Russell's out of town doing stuff. So we have from, you may have heard of her. She's from Nerdy Notions and Voices from the Grid. It's Sasha.
The one, the only, the ever sarcastic, the always desperate for representation. But here I am. Hi, it's good to be here. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're on a hockey podcast now. You've just branched out in so many new ways. Yeah.
This is how Jews, you know, slowly plan our takeover of the world. That's how it starts.
Yeah, it starts with hockey. But anyways, this week we had the second episode of Mighty Ducks titled Dusters. And as we talked about last week when Russell was on, we actually have the names of the first six episodes already, where the sixth episode is called Spirit of the Ducks, where you actually have a semi-reunion of some of the old cast members returning, which is going to be an awesome episode in 4 weeks. So pretty much, I don't have anything written down for the second week in a row, because I'm horrible. So pretty much just some quick bullet points. Evan's mom does a really awful job of being a coach in the first half of this episode, because she does everything. And I don't know if you ever played sports when you're younger, Sasha, but nope. Like, I never got participation trophies in hockey.
I'm sorry. All right, you know what? No, we're gonna talk about this. Her coaching methods are like, this would be cute if they were like kindergartners playing like a sport together, right?
But these are like middle school, yeah. Right? No, actually high school, really, because they're like, well, middle school, high school, because it's 12 to 14.
Okay, that's so the they're ages. On the like sixth through ninth grade, let's say, right?
Yeah.
Depending, and except all of the kids seem to be at least like 13 to 14, 15, maybe.
I'm thinking more 12.
Right. But yeah. Like, I think some of her methods do have merit. I think it's just way too.
The only one that I liked was when they passed the puck around, yes. And they like, that was a good one. But then like, all right, let's get on the ice. And then she's like, no, no, no. Now it's for the trust ball. And everyone's like,
I can like I think part of the issue is like she had good intentions, but I was getting just as frustrated throughout the episode as Evan was, of like, I just like, I get them on the ice. Half your team doesn't know how to skate and the other half doesn't know how to shoot a puck. Like, you can't just not get them on the ice.
Yeah. And not only that, but like, I actually texted Russ during this part of the episode, like, and this is the beginning of the episode too. And I texted him going, I kind of want to punch the TV screen. This is so frustrating. And then she does like the team dinner, or like she takes them out to like get pizza. And it's like, oh yeah, we're going to give out the team awards now. It's like, and they haven't even played a game. Do you know how many participation trophies I got, Sasha, in all the years I played soccer, baseball, and hockey?
Zero.
Three. All of them were in soccer. But it was to the point that you brought up, though. I was in kindergarten and first grade.
Like, I can understand kid, like, younger kids are, you know, first of all, I never got participation trophies for literally anything I was ever in. So, like, I think they're unnecessary.
We are the generation of the participation trophies, though.
I also grew up in a different country where nobody holds your hand. Like, you lose, that's life. But I have, like, a much more, like, old world mentality, but I can almost understand, like, doing it to, like, really little kids, like, up to, you know, second grade, maybe, like, right, they're gonna feel bad, and they'll start crying, and you don't want kids crying, because they're kids, I get that. So I can understand doing, like, a participation trophy, or, like, some kind of team member award, yada, 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 but also note, her participation trophies also don't go to everybody, which yeah. just kind of defeats the purpose. Because she gives them to the kid, to the Canadian kid that can't skate, right? She gives them to Nick and Evan, and then I think their goalie gets one. And Lauren is just like, oh, and the girl with the figure skates,
right? The girl that came from the Mean Girls group.
Yeah, and then Lauren is there, and I'm like, she actually skates pretty decently and knew how to use a puck, more or less, but she doesn't get an award? All right, then. So she, funny enough, she was the only one, because I think everybody else got a trophy. It was really weird.
I think Sam got the I didn't hurt myself award because he's the daredevil.
No, he got the most likely to give Alex a heart attack award.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And then, like, Nick got the most improved player.
Which,
how do you know he's the most improved?
Right. You only saw him on the ice like once. And, like, it's just, it's one of those things where, like, she clearly didn't know what she was doing, and her reaction was, oh, I'm just going to do everything opposite of what the Ducks do, which does have merit, because the Ducks are giving me, like, Hawk flashbacks from the first Mighty Ducks movie. I may not be a hockey player, but I am a hockey nerd in my own way. I like hockey movies. But yeah, Alex is, I think Alex realized, though, by the end of the episode that, like, I kind of screwed this up.
Well, not only that, but I think key things was, as Alex tried talking to Bombay.
Then Evan tried talking to Bombay.
And then Evan went to try talking to Bombay. But then there was a moment where Alex was just kind of away from it, from everybody, after, like, I guess Evan kind of chewed her out a little bit. And Gordon's on the ice. And this is Gordon. The real Gordon Bombay.
Gordon Bombay on the ice.
Well, I mean, he was. He went on the ice. He skated around. Right, he passed right. Shooting.
But, okay, but, like, in canon, yes, that was him skating the entire time. If you actually rewatch the shot, it is very clearly not Emilio Estevez, except for the moments where they zoom in on it, on his face. Hey,
I am still believing that's Emilio Estevez with great stick handling skills from the movie.
I mean, I love Emilio Estevez, so, like. So. It's
but fine. Anyways, he's skating around. He does like what I do, is which is a stick and shoot. You know, you just hop on the ice, you take a stick, you take a puck, and you shoot around. And Alex is watching him, and then when he's kind of done, she sees him and they start having a conversation. And this is, like, honestly the best turning point, because they don't have equipment. Evan's the only one with actual equipment. And I think Logan has equipment,
though, in this episode.
But I think Logan also had equipment just simply because he came from Canada. And, yeah. You know, hockey's pastime sport up there. But
I don't understand how he had all the equipment but didn't know how to skate. But, yeah.
It's okay. But Bombay gives her the hints, like, you know, at the Ducks Arena, which is notably named Hendrix Ice Arena. From, and then I mentioned this last week, but from D2, the Mighty Ducks. And they said they haven't
Duckworth
lost.
Duckworth is still bitter about the quacking, so they couldn't name it the Duckworth Arena.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, from D2, Hendrix became the official sponsor at that point. They took over from Ducksworth.
I know. I just like my joke.
I know. But Bombay says they haven't lost and found. So they kind of come with this idea of, like, oh, we're going to sneak in and just, like, rob the place. Which I think is freaking adorable, especially, like, when you, like, Alex's plan, it sounds so, It sounds horrible, but the execution was great.
I was fully expecting for the shoe to drop and for them to like get caught or having to run out. But the fact that they didn't, I think, was a nice subversion of the trope. So I appreciated that.
But they almost had the trope, though, because Sam started creating the diversion and Alice is like, what are you doing? Things are going great. He's like, oh, okay, sorry. They just keep grabbing more stuff.
Let's talk about, though, that Lost and Found for a second, because you could literally build an entire team off the stuff that people have left behind. They were like pads there. They had a whole thing of hockey sticks. They were like Alex found skates for herself that were really nice.
Evan found his old hockey stick called the Magic Wand, which is a weird name for a hockey stick, but we'll go with that. But it is Disney, so we'll let this one fly. But funny story about that, though. So I was actually in sixth grade. And yes, we do actually use the podcast to share stories about our playing days. So it's kind of interesting how we're able to like segue or tie these things in because it brings up memories. When I was in sixth grade, I actually was playing goalie in the sixth grade. I never had played goalie in ice hockey before. All we had for me was forward equipment. So what they did was there was a Lost and Found and they said, we're not going to force you to buy goalie equipment because it may just be for this one season. And they actually set aside goalie gear for me and like other kids to wear during the season. So it's kind of so like when you look at stuff like that, you know, like, okay, that's really cool that the rink actually did that, for, you know, especially for kids who are just learning how to play goalie and see if they want to be a goalie. Obviously, I didn't want to be a goalie, so I went back to forward, and then I ended up getting cut and became a goalie in ice hockey again. You know, these things happen. It just comes back to haunt you. But when you look at it from the episode standpoint where it's like, oh, nobody has equipment except for one player or two players, really, it's kind of a neat thing that's like, yeah, that's what a real hockey rink's Lost and Found looks like. Being in one before, that's what it looks like. It's hilarious. So...
like, I guess, you know, it makes sense because, like, kids are forgetful and one kid comes home without the stick and, like, the parents are tired. They want to go home. They're not going to notice the kid doesn't have a stick. And
you they'll know, just walk off with somebody else's.
Exactly. Like, it happens. But, yeah, no, that part was actually really well done.
I like the presentation of the jerseys. Those are some pretty fresh jerseys. I will give them that.
Cute jerseys. Still a terrible team name.
Yeah, I still don't like the name the Don't Bothers either. But I understand why the team is called that, and it's simply because they were told if you're not going to be great, why bother?
Right. No, I get that. I hope it's one of those things where like it's one of the. You know, like the Ducks, before they were the Ducks, they were District 5. So I'm hoping it's kind of a similar thing where like, this is their first name, but then they get like a real cool team name that like, I don't know what name they'll go with, but it would be cool to see kind of that similar evolution of the title.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think Russ and I talked about this last week, what we hope happens, because they've obviously talked about seasons 2 and 3 already, mm-hmm. is I hope this team, the Don't Bothers, make the final and lose. So that way they have something to build off of in season 2.
I think it might end up being that at the end, they'll make it towards something else. Like maybe by the end of the season, they finally defeat the Ducks or something small that carries us over. Maybe not necessarily them losing, because I think they're going to be losing a lot.
We'll get to their first game.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But I think it would be interesting if the evolution towards the end of the season is they finally win one, or it's something, because how many episodes does this season have? Is it the usual like 12? 10? Okay. So I think part of this season will be Gordon Bombay actually accepting the role of the coach and sort of going through that transitional journey.
Yeah. And not only that, but like you kind of see that already with, you know, with Bombay doing the skating and then talking to Alex again and then talking to Evan again. And one of the key things is like when you look at the game that they played, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on who they played the first game. They were red.
The Cardinals. It was the Cardinals.
Oh, the Cardinals. Yes, the Cardinals. So they played the Cardinals, which ironically is one of the prominent teams from the first movie.
That's probably why they went with it.
Yeah. There are actually two teams that I think are left over from the first movie, and that's the Hawks and the Cardinals. And then the Bears is actually from the third movie.
I will, it would be interesting to see the new evolution of the Hawks. But anyway,
I don't like the fact that they wear orange now. That is like a,
you
didn't notice that in the first episode? They don't wear like when they're doing like the team announcement, like introducing all the teams, the Hawks came out wearing orange, and I'm like, why are they wearing orange? They've always worn black. Like, what are you doing? And it's like,
also, that's not a color I've ever seen in a Hawk. So if we really like want to go there, like,
yeah, but that's weird. But they play their first game against the Cardinals. It is really bad. Evan's the only real hockey player on the team. Coob thinks that he has to press X to do the kick save, and it's like, no, that's not how you do it. It's not that, this ain't a video game.
Which is like, I'm curious how this will work out, because like when they were tossing stuff at him, he was catching it and blocking it without like controls. So I don't know, maybe the pressure, he reverted to like a video game situation. I don't know. But I would like to, I can't wait to see some real coaching.
Yeah. But one of the, but I mean, obviously they get blown out. I don't think they even score a single goal. And it's like, actually, this is the game that mirrors the Ducks' first game against the Hawks when Bombay first takes over as coach.
And that's not when he takes over. That's when he gets the title coach and he just shows up and does nothing.
Yeah, that's also true. But but one of the key things is that, you know, they're back in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Alex is like, oh, it doesn't matter if you win. And Evan's like, no, we suck. Like, we got to be somewhat competitive. You know, you want to at least be able to, like, stay in the game.
Right.
Like, I've been on that receiving end, you know, of the blowout loss. Is it fun? No, you don't ever want. But if I lose in a game that's 2-1 and it's a tightly contested matchup, that's a lot more fun than getting blown out 10-0. And I
think Alex, like we talked a little bit about this at the beginning of the episode, that like Alex wanted to do everything the exact opposite, because with the Ducks, it was like all pressure all the time. You got to be the best, to the point of insanity. Like that was just ridiculous. But
a nutrition coach. I never had a nutrition coach when I was playing. I didn't have a sports psychologist when I was playing.
Wee hockey. There shouldn't be. Like, this is like the definition of like helicopter parenting or tiger parenting or whatever you want to call it.
But it's a real look at what it is, because I remember going to a stick and shoot at the Capitals practice facility, and we're just there to just like a bunch of adults just doing stick and shoot. And we're looking at all these kids and they're there at the same time we are at 5 a.m. because that's the only time available for adults to do it before we go to work. And there are these kids here who are there and they're running like heavy drills, like sports fitness stuff, training. And like, when I say kids, I'm not talking high school kids.
I know.
I'm talking elementary school kids.
Yeah, that is insane. You are robbing children of a childhood.
It's like, it's insane. And it's like, but one of the key things though is that when Evan's like, no, it's like, I want to play and have fun, but I don't want to get destroyed. And he kind of leads the charge for the team to just no sticks or anything, just go out on the ice and actually work on skating.
Yeah. And it's, I think Alex needed to understand that there needs to be a balance between the two methods, right? That like, you can't just have, oh, we're just going to go on the ice and do whatever. And it doesn't matter, especially because she tells her boss lady that they're going to make it to states. I'm like, are you going to coach them? Cause I don't see that happening based off your current method. So like, what are you on?
But a seed did get planted though.
Yes.
Because as Evan and the rest of the don't bothers hit the ice to skate and just work with each other, they become better skaters. Gordon notices. Gordon sees, and Gordon noted, and he mentioned it, that he sees the leadership quality within Evan. So, so it's like, and so like, there's that scene where Bombay is looking at Evan kind of like the way he was looking at Charlie.
Yeah, yeah, caught that. I like the, so far though, I hope as the, we get as deeper into the episodes, we do get some more development for the other characters. Because the ones that the main focus is on is obviously Nick and Evan. But not gonna lie, my favorite character out of this group is Lauren, just because I love how she dresses and she's just so unapologetically weird. And I love that. And she's adorable.
She's our cosplay warrior princess.
She is our cosplay warrior princess. And as a, you know, comic book nerd, I greatly appreciate that, even if I'm not into Magic the Gathering, but at least I know what she's talking about. So it's so she's fun. And it's interesting how these characters sort of very loosely parallel some of the other characters we've seen in previous Mighty Ducks content. Like
Evan's hands down is Charlie.
Hands down, there's no doubt about it. Exactly.
And you're just about to say Coop is Goldberg.
He is, but he's a different kind of Goldberg. Whereas Goldberg couldn't stop anything to save his life until they literally tied him to the goalposts.
And gave him his bar mitzvah.
A different kind of bar mitzvah, but yeah, I'd say it's more akin to a bris, but anyway. The point being that, like, he has his own thing that he's good at and his own thing that he's not good at, and that is something he'll work on, because we saw that he knows how to stop things being thrown at him. He just has to apply it to a hockey environment outside of a video game, so that'll be really cool.
Yeah. I could see Sam. Like, Sam is the one I see the most potential in, and I can see him becoming the Jesse Hall of the team. Jesse Hall was the first two movies. He was the black kid. He was the one who was actually the best goal scorer on the team.
I loved him. He was great.
I know. And yeah, I think he, oh, there it is. I was looking right at it. Yeah, no, he, I can see him becoming the Jesse Hall. Logan, I can see becoming the, maybe the Adam Banks of the team.
Potentially, yeah.
Let's see here, I'm trying to find it. Oh, Maya, that's her name, I think it is.
Oh yeah, she
came from the Mean Girls group.
And she was wearing figure skates instead of hockey skates.
Yeah, I can see her being, so here's the thing, like Lauren and Maya, and we, Russ and I had this debate last week because we were kind of like, saying like who could be what and stuff like that, like what we are now. And Lauren, I can see being the Connie.
Yeah.
And I can see Maya being a more well-defined version of Tammy.
Yeah, I can see that.
So that's kind of what I see there.
But don't forget, there is one other potential female character that we're getting on this team, possibly, because the hints of that are not going away. That's Stephanie. So is it Sophie?
It's Sophie.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, Sophie, because Sophie is Evan's best friend from the Ducks.
Yeah, so Sophie's cool. I like her. I wonder what the catalyst will actually be, because it doesn't look like she'll just, you know, decide to join. I think something's going to happen either with her parents or with the Ducks, and she's just going to say, nope, I'm out of here.
In all honesty, what I think is going to happen is that the I think it's going to be something between the, I think what we're probably going to see in the coming weeks is a game between the Ducks and the Don't Bothers.
Oh, 100%.
And I think, and it's not going to be the finale. It's going to be way before the finale, because Sophie, in a way, and I know I said Logan's like the Adam Banks, in a way, Sophie is the real Adam Banks. Because Adam Banks came from the Hawks because of the district thing, of how the league was districted. So because of that, Sophie could kind of fall in that same parallel as Adam Banks, of she moves over like the way Adam Banks did. But not with her redrawn district lines, because there is no district lines this time.
Right.
Keep in mind. I think her switchover is a different, will be a different scenario. And I think one of the tipping points could be an early game between the Ducks.
I can see that.
And the Don't Bothers. And then, like, that's why I say I can see the Don't Bothers be in the final, because who better than to be in the final against than the Ducks, just like with the Hawks and the Ducks in the first movie. But what the difference is that because you know you have seasons upcoming after this one, you have the Don't Bothers lose. Because you can play some of those same elements from that first movie, like what they did with the Hawks and Adam Banks and stuff. You can play some of those same little elements with Sophie.
Well, if I remember from the first movie, don't they play the Hawks twice?
Yeah, they play. That was their very first game.
Yeah, so maybe there'll be two games against the Ducks to kind of parallel that.
That's the thing. The first game was the very, very first game with Bombay as coach. Right. And they're still just D5, no team uniforms, no nothing. And that was also when Banks broke Gordon's record. The second time they played was in the last game, which was the championship game.
Yep.
And that's kind of like, and it's probably, I mean, yeah, sure, they didn't play the Ducks in the very first game. They played the Cardinals. But you can still get kind of the same parallel in that way. You don't have to have the Ducks be the very, very first team to play against.
Yeah. One of the things, though, I will gotta say, it was kind of going back to Alex's character, is at the end of the episode, she goes she's going to have to learn actual hockey. And I'm just like, no, really? Like, what did you expect if you were going to sign up to be their coach? Like, you actually have to have some actual background on the sport to be able to help a team succeed in said sport. Like, you don't have to be the greatest player in the world or even a player, but you need to have at least some basic understandings of the rules and mechanisms of said sport. Like, come on, lady.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, no, it's definitely interesting. It'll be very, oh, and Stephanie's the mother of Sophie.
There we go. Yeah. Thank you. I really like to slap her, Stephanie. Like, she just has a very slappable face. Just the way that she talks to people in any settings is like, you are invading my space and me talking to you is a courtesy that you should grovel at. And I just like, I hate people like that. She's just so, just such a slappable face.
I like how Nick is still doing the podcast in the locker room after they got
died.
Like, after getting wrecked. I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, it's a good episode. Like I said, I wanted to punch the monitor, my TV screen, during the first half of the episode, mostly because of Alex's attempt to coach that really bothers me.
I didn't want to quite hit her, but I did kind of want to smack her up.
I didn't want to hit her. I just wanted to hit the TV. There's a difference.
Yeah.
There have been times.
Sometimes a good smack upside the head with a hockey stick can really make a difference.
There have been coaches I've had where I've just been so frustrated by what they've done that I've smashed some, because you can't hit the coach, so you just smash your stick on the bench or something out of frustration. So it's like,
remember, children, you cannot hit your coaches, but you can hit stuff around your coach.
Yeah, like the bench or the boards or a wall.
Right.
Just be careful not to do it in front of a referee. Otherwise, you get a 2 and a 10 minute unsportsmanlike conduct penalties.
There you go. Also, we did learn something new about Nick this episode. He has two moms. So kudos there, Disney. We will probably never see these moms, but kudos for, name dropping.
And to be honest, we haven't seen any of the parents for any of these kids.
Except
for obviously Alex, because she's a main character. But like, we haven't seen any of Nick's moms. We've seen Sophie's mom. Like, that's a given.
Well, yeah.
Because she's playing like the main rival to Alex.
He's our antagonist.
I think we've heard Coob's mother's voice.
Yes.
but we never saw her. We don't know Lauren's parents. We don't know Maya's parents. We don't know Logan's father, which we actually know that Logan's father is divorced.
Well, his parents are divorced and his dad moved in with his aunt. And
because the mom cheated on his dad. Yeah. So
we do get some like instances of background about these characters, and it is kind of reminiscent of the first Mighty Ducks as well, because the only parent we really saw, I think with maybe one exception, it's been a while since I rewatched them.
You saw Charlie's mom was obviously a key figure because she also played the love interest to Gordon. Yeah. But you actually saw the Hall brothers' father all the time. Like he was
That's right. Yeah. Like, oh, and we did see what's his name's dad?
Adam Banks' dad.
Yeah. So maybe it will be something similar. Well, we will see maybe a hint here or there, background image kind of, because I was like, where are all these kids' parents that like they never show up to pick them up from hockey practice or anything like that? Because like somebody had to sign all those release forms and things and buy at least the skates. Although I guess in Minnesota, everybody owns a pair of skates. It's just like the Canadian, not Canadian way.
Welcome to Minnesota. Everyone's born with ice skates and hockey stick, yeah. That's really more Western Canadian, but whatever.
Whatever. But yeah, Nick so far also falls into what I call the Uffie Komen effect, which is basically a... It's like looking for the Uffie Komen at Passover, right? You found the Uffie Komen, and then is that hint that we got in the first episode that he celebrates Passover, so he's Jewish, and it will never be mentioned again.
Yeah. Oh, and he, Nick, and I forgot to throw this one, Nick is the Averman of the team.
Yeah. Yeah. Valid. I loved Averman. He was one of my favorite characters just because he was so sassy, and he was just like,
I met him.
Like nonchalant humor and attitude that was just gold.
I met him.
I hate you.
You don't know my friend Scott, but him and I were at a sports car trading show in Virginia. And they actually had the actors who played Jesse Hall, Adam Banks, and Averman there. And so I actually, and you know this, you've seen it, I have the D5 Ducks jersey. And so I wear that, and we're supposed to interview them because we were giving free promotion of the three being there. Then we get to interview them. But I did get to run into Matt, who played Averman, and he saw the jersey. And we just started talking about the jersey and just other stuff. He was a really nice guy, really cool. So it's like, yeah, I got to meet Averman.
Is he one of the actors that is coming back for later episodes? Good.
Yes. And yeah. And if I remember right, Cliff Ronning, who used to play in the NHL, is going to be Averman's body double for the episode 2.
That's exciting. So
like,
we'll get.
Yo, you have a legit NHL. I wouldn't go as far as saying NHL legend, but you have an NHL, a guy who had a really good career in the NHL being your body double. That's pretty cool.
Which is also exciting because that means we'll get to see some OG Duck hockey action, even if it's just like a pickup game.
Yeah.
So that'll be really cool.
I think it will be a pickup game just kind of based off of some of the images that were released before the season started or the show started. So it'll probably be like a little friendly between the D5 Ducks and the Don't Bothers.
Which kind of reminds me of, did you ever watch the movie called Little Giants?
Yes. Oh my God. I love that movie. It's such a great movie.
I rewatched it about a month ago, and there's this scene where one of the kids was riding his bike, and there's a bus that breaks down with a whole bunch of NFL players. And they're like, we're lost. Can you help us? And so the kid takes them back to Rick Moranis's character's like house and like gas station and whatnot. And so these like really big, scary looking, but very nice NFL players end up like coaching them on like all of the crazy, like more shenanigan lessons than actual football lessons. But there was I'm hoping for something a little bit more akin to that. That would be really fun.
So I was reading one of the interviews about episode 6, and because they have Fulton Reed coming back. And Stephen Brill, who wrote all three movies and is writing the series, He was like, yeah, yeah, go take a shot, thinking that it's Fulton Reed, the kid, not, oh God, the adult that has been in, like, The Hunger Games, Butterfly Effect, Daredevil, you know. So, like, yeah, not that. Fulton Reed's an adult now. And Steven was like, yeah, take a slap shot. And he took a slap shot, and
nobody got hurt.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, we're kind of lucky that nobody got hurt, because he forgot that he wasn't a kid anymore.
Well, you know, it's been a couple years since they played hockey on a movie, so, you know.
Well, no, it actually wasn't that. What it was is Eldon Henson, that's what his name is. That's who played Fulton Reed. He ended up going to do, like, Hunger Games, Daredevil, and Butterfly Effect, plus other things. He can still do the slapper, apparently. That never left him.
I'm excited about that. It's actually funny, because, like, we watched him in Mighty Ducks, right? And he seems so tall and cool. And then you watch him Daredevil, and I'm like, when did he shrink?
Yeah, he apparently he just was a big kid.
Yeah.
In general. And the interesting thing is that just to bring this, I pulled up episode 6 because we're talking about it. The players that come back are Connie, Fulton, Banks, Gee, Averman, and Kenny Wu. I should note that Kenny Wu came in D2 and never actually wore the D5 Ducks jersey.
Was the kid that was recruited for.
Yeah, he was the figure skating kid.
Oh my God, he was adorable.
Yeah, he was the figure skating. He became the third Bash brother in D2 or D3. But an interesting fact, and we talked about in the movie, the guy who plays Fulton, Eldon Henson, and the person who plays Gee, Garrett Ratliff Henson, are real life brothers. And Eldon actually had to go by Eldon Ratliff, whereas Garrett went by Garrett Ratliff Henson, because they couldn't be known to the audience that they are actually related in real life. They needed to have that separation. Interesting, eh?
But weirdly unnecessary, especially when the movie came out. It's not like anybody was going to Google these kid actors, but
nowadays we do.
That's now, but, like, we're talking about the first Mighty Ducks movie. But I like the characters overall. I think they're still, you know, kind of like the first Mighty Ducks, where everybody's kind of a trope still. But this is a series. I think one of the benefits is the fact that this is not a movie. So we're really going to have the room to really give these characters a chance to shine. So that certain characters don't kind of feel like they're just kind of tacked on and don't really get much to do in the grand scheme of the movie. It was an enjoyable episode.
Yeah. And not only that, but, like, these are also, like, 50-minute episodes. So this has already gone longer than one movie would be.
Yeah. One of the funny things is I actually really, I think next episode we're going to get a little bit deeper into Bombay's history with the Ducks, because there was some seeds planted for that as well. Yeah. But one of the really funny things in this episode is Evan goes to complain to Gordon. Then Alex goes to complain to Gordon, and then lather, rinse, repeat, and he's just like, leave me alone.
Actually, I think it was Alex first, then Evan.
No, it was Evan first, because as Evan is leaving after talking to Bombay, he's like, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And Alex is like, oh yeah, bathroom, me too. And then she goes to talk to Bombay. So it's funny. So he'll be their coach eventually. It's only
about I think, honestly... Like, I think we'll learn a little bit more about him in the next episode, like, about Bombay. But I don't think Bombay really takes the bench until after episode 6. Because Emilia
Estevez... would explain, like, the OG Ducks being there and
all that. Well, apparently they've already explained why you're going to see them. Which is, there's a little reunion of the team. And apparently there's been, a growing apart between the Ducks and Bombay. Like the original Ducks in Bombay, and apparently it's it's going to apparently start off with like that little reunion with those duck players that we just said. And Bombay kind of just runs into them by accident. And that's going to be more where you really learn a lot more about what really went down with Bombay.
Well, that's exciting.
And why he's in this dark bubble that he's in right now. And that's why I feel that if he does become coach, his first game will be in episode 7.
Well, we shall see what happens, but I am, so far I'm enjoying myself. I'm having fun. There's some nice, very subtle callbacks to the original Ducks that doesn't sort of overshadow this new team and the new concept, which was done. So it's being done really well so far.
Well, I think the fact that Estevez is an executive producer, Stephen Brill, who wrote the first three films, is writing the series.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you have the key forces that drove it in the 90s driving it now, and I think that's a key thing, because if you do it with anybody else, it may not work. Because if Estevez has openly said the reason he kept pushing back on a Young Guns reunion, on a Tombstone reunion, on a Mighty Ducks reunion, is because he never felt a reason to do it. And then when he got this particular story from Steven, it made him want to come back.
And I think oftentimes when you reboot a series with the same creators or the same kind of people behind it, it doesn't always go well. Looking at you, Veronica Mars. But here it seems like the focus is not on the nostalgia, which I think is the strength of it. And its focus is not just, the focus is telling a story for a new generation, but it's taking the time to tell a good story with likable and memorable characters. Like even after the first episode, like I will say, I probably didn't remember the figure skating girl. What was her name? Mindy?
Maya.
But I remembered Lauren because she was just like such a, I'm just going to be.
Well, I think that was done on purpose because it's like you get something that really established Sam that made Sam stand out. You got something that made Coop stand out.
Yeah.
That made you notice him. Well, it's easy to notice him because he's just in a basement playing video games. But then Laura was very noticeable because she's a cosplayer. She's unapologetically herself. And then like Nick, obviously he gets a lot of lines because he's a podcaster and that type of thing. But like Maya's kind of in the boat of Sophie, where she was in that group that wouldn't really let her talk for herself until Evan did the speech. And then she's like, you know what? I'm going to do it. You know?
Yeah. So the characters are memorable, and it shows that you can tell that there's a lot of effort that was being put in to really just tell a good story and not just cash in on nostalgia.
Yeah. And not only that, but I would disagree with the term reboot, because reboot would mean that they're really resetting the entire thing completely. Whereas this is more of a continuation.
Sequel series, whatever you
want to call it. It's like a sequel. I won't even call it a sequel. I would call it its own standalone, but it's not a reboot. It's just kind of like it's its own thing, but years later. You know what I'm saying?
It is a reboot, but it isn't. So I don't know what the official term is.
I know what this is. This is Jay and Silent Bob's reboot, except it doesn't have Jay and Silent Bob in it.
Whatever. My point being that for a show that was, when we heard Furter's like, oh, they're rebooting the Mighty Ducks, and everybody went, oh no, oh God, why? And then you see the people behind it, and you see the effort that is being put in here to tell a good story. I think a lot of people should, so far, I might change my mind by the end of the series, but so far I think other people that want to do something similar should really take a hard look at the way it's being done so far here.
Yeah.
Because I think this is what you should come to expect from a sequel type series or movie that takes place within the same universe as some nostalgic piece of media.
Yeah. And it's just, it's interesting to see. And also you said that like a lot of people are like, oh God, why? I kind of disagree with that, because I know a lot of people have been wanting the Mighty Ducks to come back. There has been a big yearning for them to come back. Like they, the player, the people who play the players, they have done reunions minus Joshua Jackson. And it just kind of, really fed in. It's like, man, we really like to see the Mighty Ducks come back in some form or fashion. We realistically knew that they were never going to be able to do it with the main cast of the movies and stuff, but like we wanted something. And this is what, and so it's like the hockey community has been dying for it. Let's put it in perspective like that. Maybe other people have been like, oh, it's just the Mighty Ducks, whatever. But the hockey community has been wanting the Mighty Ducks back.
I mean,
especially after Brian Burke, after he became general manager of the Ducks, the real NHL franchise, and said, we're changing the name. We're dropping the Mighty out of
the
Mighty.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
That's a real thing, by the way. When Brian Burke, yeah, it is like, everyone hates him for that.
I can see why. But yeah.
Don't respect him. We just don't like him.
The point is, I'm excited to see where this goes, and it has a lot of potential so far. And it looks like the people behind it are really putting in a lot of good effort. So I'm excited to see what happens next.
I'm looking forward to it. So with that, we've yabbled on enough. So Sasha, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Well, you can find me on geekgirl101.tumblr.com. That is the best way to reach me always, but also at Geeky Kaplan with a K after the best superhero in the world, Billy Kaplan. That is my Twitter. And you can read more about my thoughts on what I have dubbed the Effie Coleman effect over at geekycaptainwrights.wordpress.com. Check it out.
Of course, you can find me on Twitter at thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. Everything for TXHT is at TXHT_hockey on Twitter, facebook.com/TXHT hockey. And of course, the website, TXHThockey.com. How about that? We're actually doing it.
You can catch both me and Mike over on TXHT when we do, when we are joined by the Mighty Quartet. It's a total of quartet of me, Mike, Brian, and Ben as we talk about Power Rangers like adults. Over on Voices from the Grid.
And of course, also Sasha's show, Nerdy Notions, which later this afternoon, you'll be hearing comments and thoughts on episode 3 of Falcon and Winter Soldier. Because
I have thoughts, as always.
You always have thoughts. I liked how, to break the fourth wall here, which we do too much anyways. I like how in... Yeah, exactly. I think we broke like the 45th wall at this point now. But I shot you one text about the show. Mm-hmm. Just one. Or no, it was like two. Like normally we have like 5-6 texts back and forth. And it's like, this was just like two.
Because you fell asleep.
You've spaced out, so it's okay. But
I didn't space out. It's called having a full-time job with ridiculous hours. But thank you for having me. It was nice to be a guest star.
Yep. Russell should be back next week. He's actually with his band doing rehearsals and doing Easter dinner stuff. Because last week he actually did the Passover stuff. This week he does the Easter stuff. So with that, until next time, we will see you on the ice.